Welcome to Highly Questionable. We ain't got Dominique's shot yet. And
sorry.
Me, I don't even know that we're doing
that's
this. But
my
it's
bad. I just
done.
Saw the second email.
That's Vita Cobbs apparently looking at a computer for the first time. And Dominique Foxworth, who
Hello?
Apparently is sitting in a third grader's chair.
No.
And me, I got an Emmy.
Do you think the Suns can regroup after the way Game 5 ended?
Okay, so like most of us are like out on Kanye West at this point. I damn sure am. Maybe some of y'all are still in on him. However, I've never been gladder to hear him than seeing this play with Father Stretch My Hands, Devin Booker, Drew Holiday.
Give me that.
Look at Giannis, right? This is playing hard, Jack. That late, 13 seconds left, rising like that. This is one of the more incredible plays that you are going to see in a basketball game ever. What's so amazing about that play to me is just how hard he was still going at that point. Like Kenny Smith makes this point about Giannis. Even when he's not playing well, he's playing hard. And that was such a super,
yes.
super play hard move that you don't even see guys that good really like that obviously playing hard. Now, are the Suns finished? Probably. Like what we've learned about the Suns in the course of these last couple games is once you get past that starting lineup, there's just not a lot there. Once they have to go to the bench, they just don't have the guys. And what the Bucks have is guys who are a lot more battle tested. This whole finals has been about guys who have not been to this place before, but the Bucks have been close, have been smacked down just when they felt like it was close enough to taste. The Suns got a bunch of dudes who are here for the first time, and there's something to be said for maturity. And I think that maturity is the biggest thing that we've seen Milwaukee pull off or lean on in this time period. So, no, I don't think that the Suns are going to go win this game on the road in Milwaukee, where they've been clamoring for this championship for 40 years. 50 years. Sorry, 50.
Whew. Yeah, Kanye West was not at the game, but Adele was. And she had the same reaction to that play that all of us did. She was sitting like right behind it, just screaming and losing her mind. I don't even know if Adele likes basketball, but anyone, regardless of whether you like sport, would have the same reaction to what we just saw, the incredible athleticism and determination, and just the like guts that it took for Drew Holiday to throw that up in that moment instead of dribbling out the clock. It was unreal. This game was not only amazing, it was also like one of the weirder box scores you'll ever see because the Suns became the first team in NBA playoff history to shoot over 50% from both the field and three, over 90% from the free throw line, and still lose. The margins in this series are tiny. And to me, because those margins are so tiny, because they're probably going to lose on volume in free throws due to the size, like the Suns, the only chance they have in this series, in this game six, is if Devin Booker goes wall to wall. When he sat so far in this final, the Suns are negative 38. Now, the Bucks are, I think, negative 11 with Giannis. They're actually positive in the last game, and that's been the difference in this series. Like, I know it was hard to get him back in the game. He could have called timeout. They didn't get a free throw, but Monty Williams has got to leave Devin Booker in, because with Chris Paul struggling the way he has, they don't have a chance without him.
To continue with the music references, we'll go with the rapper that dated Adele, Skepta. He says it ain't safe in these streets, and it is not safe in these streets for the Suns right now, because Mina, you brought up some of those box score issues. The biggest one that jumped out to me was shots. They had 87 shots, and the Bucks had 87 shots. That was the big thing they needed to correct, was to address the offensive rebounds and turnover differential, because you can't win if the other team gets more shots than you, right? They got the same amount of shots. They hit a higher percentage from three. They hit a higher percentage from the free throw line. They had fewer turnovers. They had 8 offensive rebounds to the Bucks' 11. They matched up. They had more points in the paint. Imagine that. The Suns had more points in the paint than Giannis Antetokounmpo, and they still lost. No, they don't have a chance. Like, it feels like if you put that game together, you get your role players playing well at home, as they do, it doesn't seem likely that they're going to be able to repeat that game. So they're going to play worse than they played yesterday night, and they're going to go into Milwaukee, where everyone there will be playing better. They'll be amped up. The crowd will be into it. It's hard for me to imagine that the maturity that you talked about the Bucks showing, that Chris Paul has enough for his whole team, because that's what he needs. He's the only one with that level of experience, and I'm not sure that on the court, we necessarily think of Chris Paul as the most mature guy all the time. You could reference that push in the air, but Maybe that's more desperation than anything, but it's hard for me, given where I started this series thinking that the Suns were going to win it in six or so. It's hard for me to imagine a scenario where they can even win it in seven now.
Well, one thing we've been hearing a lot of people try to say in the course of this series is like these Devin Booker-Kobe comparisons. And it's unfair to Devin Booker because the truth is, if it takes you 6 years in the league before we say you Kobe, you not Kobe. That's not how being Kobe actually works. But this is the thing with him. He's been putting up these buckets, right? He's scoring. He's doing everything. He doesn't have a fourth quarter assist yet in the NBA Finals. So I'm not saying he isn't playing well. I'm not saying that any loss is his fault. But as crazy as it sounds, he does have to do more, because being that caliber of player that we're talking about him and putting him in that rarefied air, you can't only score. You got to add more.
Does Kobe have a fourth quarter assist? I feel like you are making more of a case for Devin Booker as Kobe Bryant than you are taking one away. I have never seen Kobe pass the ball in the fourth quarter. Oh, he threw that oop. He threw that oop to Shaq that one time. Yeah. He threw that oop to Shaq.
Oh, no. Kobe would throw it to you. You damn sure better score when he does. Otherwise, you ain't never going to see the ball again.
Are you starting to worry about the Tokyo Olympics?
I will never forget the moment that I knew that our lives were about to become hell was in 2020, when that dude Dick Pound, what a name, when he came out and he was like, I don't think we're gonna have the Olympics. And I was like, retro, we got a big problem. Guess what? We fast forward now, like 15 months from then, things aren't really much better. All right, here's how bad it is. In Japan, which is a country that does not have a high vaccination rate, because we ignore in the United States, we got all these vaccines we ain't using, everybody else can't even get them. They don't want these Olympics to happen, so much to the point that Toyota is the official automobile of the Olympics, and they are not advertising on the Olympics in Japan because they read the room and understood that everybody thinks that this is a horrible idea. We've had a member of the United States women's gymnastic team test positive, but it has been reported that it's not Simone Biles, because, oh man, imagine if that had happened. This is going to be not great. That seems like the kindest way to put it. We got a lot of athletes who are not vaccinated. This is an event that is about fraternization and people being around each other. And we have learned, if nothing else, if people aren't willing to pass up once a year things or once a few month things, they're not going to pass up fully living on once in a lifetime things. This could turn out to be a full on disaster, all in the name of being pot committed because the sunk costs are so high.
If you don't want to pass up on a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to participate in the Olympics, don't pass up on that once-in-a-lifetime vaccination. Like, get your shot if you really want to win the medal. And I can understand the perspective of an athlete who spends a lot of money, a lot of time, finally tuning their body to this moment. And I could understand that they could be a little trepidatious about putting something that they don't know much about in their body. Well, then learn about it. Like, go find out. I've read enough articles that I feel confident and comfortable that if I was an athlete, I would take my shot, and I might tell all the rest of the guys I'm not taking it because I'm going to go get me my gold medal, and maybe you can all be sick and not invited. But it doesn't make sense to me why they wouldn't want to participate in this, because that's what it says to me. If you are not vaccinated at this point, it says to me that you are willing to not participate in these Olympics, which makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I'd like to echo your advice to go learn about it, but also add, not via memes, please. Like, just not via memes when you do your research, athletes. Look, the athletes getting the shot is one thing, but we are talking about 22,000 people flying into a country that, as Bo said, has a 22%, below 22% actually, vaccination rate on account of the availability of the shots. Who thought this was going to be a good idea? Nobody, but it's a train that feels like it can't be stopped. And we all know why, which is the money. And to me, that's exhibit A for a longstanding issue with the Olympics, which is we, as the world, should not have an event that requires massive new investment every 4 years that is largely wasted afterwards, because it results in situations like this where you don't have flexibility. Like, they can't move it, for example, to a safer place or have it in a bunch of different places, because there is so much money that went into this event happening in this particular place. And if it doesn't go that way, all that money goes away too.
Think about this. There's going to be opening ceremonies for the Olympics with no people there. What's the point? What's the point? And watch, they still going to be out here going like this, still waving. Ain't going to be nobody there. They going to put cardboard out there. We going to have the cardboard Olympics. Is that what this is about to be?
Bomani mentioned the cardboard Olympics. I don't know if you guys saw that story about how in Tokyo they made the beds out of cardboard to deter athletes from having sex on them with other athletes. Y'all, we're talking about the best athletes in the world. Exactly. You don't think they can't get around your little cardboard beds?
Are you here for Jimmy Ward talking smack about Matt Stafford?
By the way, training camp is like right around the corner, right around the corner. Kind of snuck up on us. Now, Jimmy Ward, he is a defensive back for the San Francisco 49ers. And, you know, Matt Stafford going to the Rams, they gave up a lot in order to get him. And he sees him as just, well, basically a dude that played for the Lions and didn't win anything, even when he had Calvin Johnson at his side. Now, is he correct? Not really. The thing with Matt Stafford is he's a weird case of a guy who got better way late in his career, because I have been highly critical of him for the majority of his career, and I still have questions about him, but he is not exactly the same guy he was in Detroit if you're thinking about him 5-6 years ago in Detroit, and he is definitely an upgrade over Jared Goff. I got no doubt about that part, but I still don't really know exactly how good it is that he is. I do know who he's better than. Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, if y'all gonna go out here and do that same thing again, and it's possible that the 49ers just might, the laugh is gonna be on you, buddy.
Yeah, the 49ers will not be doing that. I refuse to believe that Trey Lance won't be starting week one because exactly what you pointed out. But I think that I like what Jimmy Ward did, because I'm always supportive and condoning of trash talk. It's not completely accurate because he did take them to the playoffs three times. They lost all three times to teams that were frankly better than them. Honestly, there were games they should have lost. But it's fair to be critical of his career. I think it's not fair to say that you're a bad quarterback because you didn't win enough. But it's kind of fair to be critical of somebody who's been at a place for as long as he's been, through as many coaches he's been through, to not have any signature playoff moments. Like, he's not a Hall of Fame quarterback, but they're not looking to replace a Hall of Fame quarterback. So, yes, they're going to be much better. They might even be better than the 49ers if he can play well.
They should be better than the 49ers. I was excited when I saw this quote because I thought it was spicy, and I love it when a lesser-known player delivers on spice about a more famous player because it puts his name in the news and gives us something to talk about. But then later in the quote, he kind of backtracked and he said, but, you know, Stafford is probably like a top 10 quarterback, maybe top 5, which, Jimmy, like, no, he's not a top 5 quarterback. Maybe top 10, maybe, probably in his new situation, but that sort of undermined the spice level. To me, like, the Stafford-Goff scenario or trade is a perfect example of why wins, playoff wins in this case, are not a quarterback stat, actually have nothing to do with quarterback play, really, in terms of evaluating the total picture. Because, like Bo said, the Rams didn't win because of Jared Goff, and the Lions didn't lose because of Matt Stafford. And when they switch places, Matt Stafford is going to be better because he's in such a good situation. Now, is he going to be so better that the Rams are a Super Bowl team? I think that is dubious and open to interpretation. But they're going to be better on offense because the quarterback is better, regardless of how much better he is.
Yeah, I will say this. It is not his fault that the Lions were the Lions, but they ain't never won a damn thing because Matt Stafford was there. Like, we've seen good quarterbacks on bad teams and watched them carry teams. I feel like I've watched enough of Matt Stafford to say that's never really been the case. Like, even as we got to the point of improvement, the truth is Mel Kiper Jr. said he was going to be the number one overall pick when he was a junior in high school, and he ain't won a damn thing since he left Highland Park, Texas. They ain't win nothing at Georgia when he was surrounded by talent. He didn't get much done in Detroit. Like, he is the least scrutinized number one overall pick slash phenom that I could ever think of, and people just kept on waiting for him to get good. And he got to hang around long enough for people to wait long enough to be able to say it.
And to go back to the rankings or Jimmy having him top 5 or top 10, that's what the league is saying right now. Like, ESPN surveys these executives, I'm sure you guys saw, and they already have Matt Stafford this season at 6 above Dak Prescott, based solely on the fact that he was drafted where he was. That follows you throughout
that's
your career.
That's it. No, Bo. It's because he was drafted. That's it. It's the reason. It's because he was drafted where he was drafted.
Up next on HQ.
I feel like Bo might have us all beat with who had the highest level of achievement by the age of 24.
Well, kind of. At 24, I got my second master's degree.
Okay.
Because I flunked out of a PhD program. It goes in two different directions.
Top Time to play the game that decided to grace you all with my presence on a Monday. Do you question?
Appreciate you. You give us topics and events and we question them.
Do you question who had the more significant finish, Colin Morikawa or Jordan Spieth?
See, this is what we doing. Jordan Spieth did not win. Jordan Spieth is not the champion. Our man, Colin Morikawa, this is his second major this year. And we talking about whether the guy who did not win is more important. But anyway, let us look at Morikawa making his final putt. There he goes. Look at all that confidence. You know what I'm saying?
To wear
look
that
at
shirt.
All that confidence. Now, the whole reason we talk about Jordan Spieth is that he has full onset lemon booty at all times. Like, even when he's playing well, the lemon booty just completely envelops him. But now we're at the point where the lemon booty did not stop him from getting to second place. And I say good job at being the first loser. But we've been trying so hard to make this Jordan Spieth thing happen for so long. Let's talk about a champion, Colin Morikawa, who I'd never heard of until yesterday.
Well, he won. Did he win the PGA or something? So, like, he's not completely new to this. He's a young golfer who I think has been interesting because a lot of young golfers been playing well, and Spieth is one of those guys that then go into nosedives, which Spieth just pulled out of. So, I agree. We should be talking about the champion, but going 6-under on the final 12 holes is kind of impressive for a guy who had the yips and we thought was done and not good and couldn't ever come back. Like, it's encouraging.
Yeah, Morikawa is 24 and he's already won two majors, which I believe is like 25% of the majors he's competed in. I might be wrong. Sorry, golf people. Like, that is incredible. I knew who he was. What I did not know is that the trophy for this tournament is called the Claret Jug. Y'all know what a Claret Jug is? Like, what does that even mean? Is that like a British thing? Some of you drink out of? I don't know.
I feel like Bo might have us all beat with who had the highest level of achievement by the age of 24.
Well, kind of. At 24, I got my second master's degree.
Okay.
Because I flunked out of a PhD program.
That's impressive.
It goes in two different directions.
24, I was living in an apartment in New York in a lofted bed. Y'all know what that is? It's like a bunk bed with no bottom.
Oh, nice.
That's how small my room was.
All right. I'll give it to you guys. I was only in the NFL. No big deal.
Really brought that whole thing out.
No, it's good for you, Bo. You did it, Bo. Way to go. Two master's degrees.
Wait a minute. What year was that picture that we used to dominate? Do you know what year that picture was?
I probably was 24.
Throw it up. That's what I'm just saying. Throw it up. We have like the video too, not just the photo. I feel like the photo isn't sufficient for this moment. I'd like to also see the video again.
So you had a roommate, Mina. Is that what you're saying? Y'all was in the same room?
Do you question if Taiwan Walker had the right idea on this play?
All right, he pitches for the Mets. He gave up 6 runs and recorded 1 out. Yeah, that's how that went for him. Let's get a look at this play. He's a pretty good fielding pitcher, they tell us. Oh, I saw this play. This is terrible. It looks like a foul ball to you, but it was actually a fair ball. And I'll be honest with you. I did not realize this. I thought that once the ball went foul, that the ball was foul. But when we get to the replay, the ball went foul and then came back fair. That dude number 69, they let him do that in baseball. But yeah, here's all these guys just keep on going. This is straight Little League.
Can we go back to Rojas, the Mets manager, who's like absolutely furious that they made the correct call, as we saw? He was like popping his chest out, and then he gets kicked out of the game.
Yeah, he got thrown out. He wasn't actually furious. Like, that's baseball manager 101. Like, he's not actually angry. He just wanted to get to the locker room so he could get him a drink and chill out. He was like, this is a lost cause. Y'all got to sit here and watch this, but I don't.
The way my dad refers to moments like that is, you fall off your bike, what's the first thing you do? You get up and you kick your bike. That's what they did right there. They just kicked the bike.
Time to play a game that almost won a Super Bowl one time. I think I was injured. See or no?
I won an Emmy. You tell us what's on TV tonight. We'll tell you if we're intrigued.
Tonight at 9:40 p.m. Eastern, Angels and A's.
All right, Shohei Ohtani hit his 34th home run over the weekend, but that is not what we are going to show you. Look at this. That's him at the plate.
Pulled. A little weird hop,
Riding. He beat it out.
Right.
Like, that's some Otis Nixon speed. I understand you kids don't know nothing about no Otis Nixon, but that's all I got. That is amazing. To get down the line at that height, at that speed.
I mean, sometimes we talk about guys, I'm sorry, you got to ask questions or something. Do your thing, Bo. My bad.
No. You intrigued? Like, go ahead.
Yeah,
you got
absolutely. I'm intrigued. And sometimes we talk about guys like LeBron and those guys and say that, like, they went through and God put everything in their shopping cart. Like, Shohei got it all. Like, all the hand-eye coordination that it requires to be an excellent pitcher and an excellent hitter. Like, that doesn't even speak to the fact that he is fast as hell, too. Like, what is left for him to do? Is there anything else on the baseball diamond that he has not shown a proficiency at? Is there something? Can he play shortstop? Like, I'm sure he can.
Mina, are you intrigued?
I am, not just by Ohtani, who I'm always intrigued by. Everything he does is fascinating to me. But quietly by this game, because I don't want to say it out loud, but a certain baseball team that might be in the Northwest is 2.5 games behind the A's in the wild card hunt, and I am not paying attention to that at all, not checking the standings every day.
You don't have to mention their name, but I kind of root for them too, because they look like the team with the most dudes that know how to play spades, or at the very least, the most dudes who take spades way too seriously.
There you go. Bringing people together. The unnamed team in Seattle.
That's right. All right, that is our show. Check out Mina on NFL Live today. Dominique Foxworth, Foxworth Fridays on the right time. Fridays, it's a podcast. I guess I already said Fridays.